It's Monday, and it's time to spend some time talking about the greatest catastrophe in recorded human history, and that is the ongoing and worsening disaster at Fukushima Daiichi, the nuclear power plant that is utterly destroyed. It is not in any other way describable. It's not damaged. It's not troubled. It's gone. Totally gone. We're in our seventh year of reporting on this now. There are more stories coming up now that are very important, and I'll have them up for you as well. Hundreds of millions of Pacific salmon missing and presumed, logically, dead. Government issues an emergency order along the U.S. West Coast. Japan suffering a truly historic collapse of fish, all starving to death. Remember what we talked about so often, the food chain, and when you have a link gone, everything begins to crash around it? You can't sustain. And these fish are all starving to death. The fish are starving to death. Nuclear investigator says, worry over underground explosions at Fukushima. New data shows molten fuel is dropping lower into the ground each day. It's melting. It's on its way to the center of the earth. It's getting lower and lower. Well, there's no way. You can't go in and get that out. They can't even find it. The disaster, says the nuclear investigator, is far worse than the public is being told. Why aren't we reading about this everywhere, he asks. Good question. I don't think anybody else but this program is really doing much about this on a regular basis at all. I mean, it's crazy. Dana Durnford, I believe, is standing by up there in British Columbia. Dana, are you there?
I am. Am I coming in? There's a little bit rough on my end.
You're good. Yeah, Todd will fix it. Whatever.
Good.
All right. Here are some excerpts from a column written by Robert Cringely. It's his real name, Cringely. He's a best-selling author, and his work has appeared in the New York Times, Newsweek, and Forbes. He wrote back in 2009 that there is a place for nuclear power in our energy future. Now, here are some excerpts. Here's why I am writing about this subject and why you should take me seriously. Back in 1979, I was hired by the White House to help investigate the nuclear accident at Three Mile Island. My friend Robert Bishop, whom I consulted for this column, was the only American at Chernobyl. I wrote that the Fukushima accident was far worse than the public was being told about, and that it would take many decades, if ever, for the site to recover. Well, it's 6 years later, and now seven. If anything, the Fukushima situation is even worse. Far from being over, the nuclear meltdown is continuing, the public health nightmare increasing. Why aren't we reading about this everywhere? The most recent evidence means there is a puddle of molten uranium that has melted its way through the steel pressure vessel, through the reinforced concrete containment, through the reinforced concrete foundation of the nuclear facility, and is now working its way down through whatever rock or soil lies under the foundation, dropping down lower every day. If the molten uranium hits an underground aquifer, such as they have runoff from the mountains that goes under there, the situation will get even worse. He says also there is no solution, but there are a few things that can be done to mitigate the crisis, with the main one being what's being called an ice wall. Of course, the ice wall was tried and it failed. So where are we, Dana? Another year has gone by. The corium is melting toward the center of the earth. We know the plant was built on fill material, bulldozed down and flattened out. And they put the plant on that, so the corium probably didn't have any trouble going through the first 50 feet or so. Then it'll hit the indigenous geology, and it may slow up, it may go faster, we don't know. But in the meantime, the water from the mountains behind, going under the plant and into the ocean, is becoming deadly in its radiation, and it's carrying with it uncountable amounts of radionuclides, death in the water. That's why the Pacific Ocean is dead. So how are we?
Yeah, for anybody that's not familiar, 6 years ago, we had reactor one detonated. It had six reactor cores worth of material into it, and that's all gone. Reactor two, reactor three, and reactor four buildings all done the same thing. They all had the same five, six reactor cores stored in the buildings. And so you're looking at over 20 reactor cores anyway. But then there's the common spent fuel pool, which wow. is the storage for 40 years underground. So another 10 million pounds minimum. Confirmed, guaranteed, if not three times, at least.
You know, Dana, one quick
pounds.
Quick note. I looked and looked to try to find accurate tonnage and weight.
Sure.
And I couldn't find it. It was
they change.
Yeah.
All of them are changing, eh?
Yeah.
And yeah, they've been dropping numbers constantly. They had 40 years of fuel there for each of the buildings. But apparently there's only 500 assemblies or something, right? And so it takes 1,500 assemblies were in the pool, 5 million pounds, blah, blah, blah.
You don't mean to say they've been lying through their teeth for 6 years.
They've been dropping the numbers in increments over the last 6 years. It's really something. So Chernobyl was one building. It was 30% meltdown, allegedly, and it was 30% the size of any of the buildings in Japan, but it didn't have the reactor cores. I just wanted to throw that out because we haven't covered that really in detail.
That's a very, very important.
Anymore.
Would you please do me a favor and go back over that? That's really important. You have to understand that people think, well, okay, there was a meltdown. It was just the fuel in the reactor itself that we have to worry about. Oh, no. No,
it was
no,
much
no.
worse, yeah.
Tell us how
so
much.
So each building, these buildings were what they call boiling water reactors. They boil about 1 million gallons per minute. These are the biggest, some of the biggest reactor buildings on the planet at the time when they detonated, and still are certainly in the context. This was a huge production. This reports originally were 100 times Chernobyl capacity in these buildings when they were in trouble. But once
100 times the Chernobyl potential.
Yeah, capacity.
Wow.
Yeah, capacity, what Chernobyl's because Chernobyl was a new plant, whereas these were 40 years old.
That's right.
And so they had 40 years of fuel.
Yeah.
And then a lot of the fuel is kept up high in the building, what's known as fuel pools. And they have many of these fuel pools, and they're about 30-odd feet deep. And they put the reactor cores every year or so. They'll take two-thirds of the reactor core at least and put it in the pool. And it has to sit there for decades before they can take it and put it somewhere else in another pool, which is called a common spent fuel pool, for another decade or two.
Who would design a reactor so insanely to put four to five stories off the ground, a big steel tank where you put the spent fuel assemblies?
That was like in a place where there's earthquakes, and you're going to put all this poundage. And so each year you got more poundage up higher in the building, but each year the building, the integrity of the building becomes, as the buildings are older, become weaker, and they become more stressed, and they have 1,000 earthquakes, so they're getting all these latitude and longitude spots there that are really bad, and they build these reactors right on these fault lines. Apparently that helps the chain reaction. I'm not making that up. And so they're very vulnerable places. And why would you do that when – but for the whole industry, they predicated it up on it's harmless and innocuous or benign. It's like a potato chip and stuff.
Yeah.
When it killed every animal in every study. And so everything is about lying. And they knew that if they told you the truth and try to build it, everybody would object immediately, and rightfully so. And so with the media's help, with the local government's help, with the local university's help, slowly but surely, they started conquering everywhere. And they take prime real estate. But anyway, back to the story was that these reactors in Japan were almost 40 years old each. They've been running full-time, big reactors. And then all the fuel was going up high or right next door. And so the tsunami cut through there. Sometimes in that area, 400 kilometers, the tsunami was over 100 foot high. The buildings were 190 foot high. And 150 feet wide, so there are enormous buildings above ground, and then there's 60 feet underground. And so the reactor cores went right straight up the very center of the building, up to about 100. Top of the reactor would be about 100, 110 feet up, and the top of the fuel poles would be about 10 feet below the top of the reactor. And so the top of the reactor has to come off to lift the fuel out. It goes up and then into the pole right alongside of it. It's actually just continuous motion there. And so all these reactor cores are kept, like you were saying earlier, at the top of these buildings. And so if they did have any kind of issue, you can never get back in there and you can solve the issue or deal with it.
Just insane. Just insane.
Yeah, they knew that's exactly. But allegedly, they built it with the theory that nothing could go wrong, when they knew absolutely, unequivocally, that at some point one of these would go down. And with that design, that would be catastrophic. You would lose that part of the country. But we didn't count on the apparatus like Twitter and Facebook and, mm-hmm. and everything else back in those days. It was just going to be your local media was going to cover it up and you wouldn't know any better. And then that fear-mongering routine they'd done for decades about the Ruskies attacking them and fallout shelters and blah, blah, blah. Sure. And so – right. And so they keep it underwater because it's so it's emitting gamma shine and alpha and neutron burst, and water contains it pretty darn good. And so the workers can come around that place without getting killed right on the spot. But they are impacted down the road long term. But it's a neat trick that they pulled off there anyway, and they keep shifting workers in and out in different places. Mm-hmm. And so you don't see this what's really going on here. Mm-hmm. But once you lost the water, then anybody within 300 feet is going to get a deadly dose. And so when these buildings detonated, there was no way. Like, they flew the helicopters over it. They sent in the special forces, and they tried to spray water, which it needs a million gallons a minute. The reactors were running. And then the fuel pools, they were gone right away. That was the bang. And so they've been lying to us in every facet, every minutia, every detail of the detail, mm-hmm. and then rewriting it over the last 6 years. And so we've been banging into this in frustration, obviously, and desperation is I think more proper words for what we do each Monday night. That's desperation.
That's true.
When we come here do this show, this 1 hour show, this is desperation.
We're really pleading for people to wake up.
Common sense.
Yeah.
For Japan, for TEPCO, for the nuclear industry, for the pundits and the journalists, that the pro-nuclear crazies that have propagated it as like it's harmless or it's like a banana, potato chip, and walking in the sunshine. They can't break that habit, because the minute someone breaks it and tells the truth, then every other journalist out becomes a lawyer. Uh-huh. And so they could never come out and tell the truth.
Yeah.
Without giving up the whole game. And then everybody's going to turn on them right away. And so they got themselves backed into a corner, and they'll take the planet with them. They're already taking at least 4 million species with them in the last 6 years. The death of the Pacific will take out the rest of the planet, obviously. And we have all kinds of problems with the ozone layer all of a sudden. We have supercell storms where we've seen 235 mile an hour winds hitting China, the Philippines, 31 provinces leveled. 50 million people lost their homes. I mean, like, their homes were blown a couple hundred miles away. And we've seen tornado force winds that were 300 mile wide. When a tornado generally was a quarter mile, last six minutes, these things were lasting many hours and 300 miles wide and stronger than a typical tornado, where they picked up 30 million trees in the Philippines and turned it into projectiles. They stripped the land. They stripped the pavement right off the roads there. And they done the same thing with China, where 500 million trees were knocked down in just one area late last year during the typhoons. And so we've never seen those types of winds. We've only seen this from the Pacific, and we only seen this since Fukushima.
Now, this is not the jet stream dropping down either. These are generated from a different source. Oh.
From the heat of the ocean heating up, from the death of the Pacific Ocean, it's no longer doing its thing. And then the radiation never stops emitting. And so this is why, like, a million watts in a gram, if we atomize an aerosol and liberate that into the environment, it's still a million watts up there floating around. And so when you're talking about 30 million pounds liberated into the environment, and this is much more, because it was running reactors at the time that it went down. Mm-hmm. And so this makes a big difference to the production of the isotopes, to the hot particles.
Right.
The fact that it wasn't just – It detonated, caught fire, and blew up. The D's, yeah, really something. That's what we lost.
Now, we've been describing this. It's called a Mark I BWR boiling water reactors. We have at least 23 of them still operating in the U.S., all right? These are the worst designed nuclear reactor, probably of them all, in that at least when you sum up the number of tonnage that is actually being held right now as we speak in these five-story tall, or thereabout, spent fuel pools up off the ground. These are steel. Now, that steel is going to... I think it's called annealing, where the neutron flux begins to weaken the steel. These cannot last. And they're supposed to take care of this stuff for 10,000 years. I don't know how many years, but a long time, thousands of years. And they're going to have to move them. But they can't because of Fukushima. Those explosions you saw, that was a lot to do with the spent fuel pools going up, right?
That's right. And
those bangs were not just a reactor. That was, you were looking, that's
why
they're
still 25 miles away, yeah.
Yeah, the spent fuel pools, I don't know if any of the reactors still have an intact spent fuel pool.
No.
Yeah,
not there, not
that
at that spot. No, they don't.
No.
No, I have 5,000 pictures of the reactors. And a couple
there's nothing. There's
site.
Nothing visible. They're blown. It's all blown out.
Yeah. No, I've gone through that whole site over and over and over and over and over. And because you don't want to make a mistake, right? Because that'll be used to bludgeon you.
Of course.
Down the road, right? So I'm very. I hope I am anyway. Like I really put a lot of energy into being methodical before I say things because. Your detractors, which are just a public relations firm.
They're waiting to pounce.
Yeah, they are. They're vicious dogs. And they don't care about the planet. They care about protecting themselves, what they got done. And they know their family will find out when the story breaks.
Let me tell you,
they're in desperation mode.
Let me tell our listeners something. Even if the nuclear power industry in this country and worldwide decided to shut down every reactor right now, decommission it, they still have, God only knows how many total tons of spent fuel to take care of for until the end of time, our time, and then some. We have 23 Mark I reactors in this country out of 103 reactors. These are the worst. If an earthquake hit one of those here, we'd have Fukushima. But even if the entire industry were to decommission itself right now, it's probably too late. That's what we've been trying to tell you every Monday. It's probably too late because of Fukushima.
Right, and if we have a catastrophic event from a solar flare takes out the power grid, she's game over for sure for everything on the planet away.
Those things they'd heat up and they'd start fissioning. All around the world. Oh, God.
Yeah, if they have a nuclear war, they'll abandon
facilities. They'll run.
They need 1 million gallons a minute. They don't get their 1 million gallons a minute. 50 minutes later, she goes bang.
1 million gallons a minute. And if you think there's a civil crisis here, you think those people that work there are going to stay there and make sure? No, they're going to go to their families.
Yeah, and I mean, they talk about 300 tons a day coming out of these reactors. But it's 4,500 tons a minute that you need to pump through the reactor just to keep it cool, right? And so you multiple reactors, blah, blah, blah.
Wow.
And so they're pouring a lot more water. That's just pouring down through the earth and then the river underneath it. And then every time it rained and snowed over the last 6 years, people don't realize what really took place here. And, it's a long, detailed, and you got to really be methodical telling and documenting that as you're talking about it. And then people got to have the interest on top of that, right? So, it's...
Just think about...
They don't understand the urgency. Go ahead, Jeff.
Think about these Mark I reactors. They're just so stupid. Browns Ferry, for you people who live around there, numbers 1, 2, and 3, those reactors are Mark I's. Brunswick 1 and 2, Cooper, Dresden 2 and 3, Duane Arnold, Hatch 1, 2, Fermi 2, Hope Creek 1, Fitzpatrick, Monticello, Nine Mile Point 1. Let's see where else. Crystal Creek, Peach Bottom 2 and 3, Pilgrim 1, Quad Cities 1 and 2, Vermont Yankee, should be Vermont Turkey, Columbia Generating Station, that's a Mark 2. So there you go, 23 of them. And they're just as bad as they can be. Just
and
waiting.
They got 40 years of fuel
stored at each one.
Stored right there, yeah.
Yeah, 40 years. And it needs a million gallons a minute?
The pools are going to chew up 120,000 liters a day.
Uh-huh.
Just because they boil off that each day back into the community, and that's piped up. That's what is six times more breast cancer around nuclear power plants within the 15 miles.
That's the steam you see coming out of that big steam stack.
Right, they mix it in because they're boiling a million gallons a minute, and so a billion gallons a day or whatever, and that goes right up. The majority of that goes up in steam, and the rest of it goes into the river or the ocean. But a glass of salt water is a billion creatures.
And used
so people
to be.
Can divide that up per reactor. Well, yeah. Yeah. The ocean's so clean now. The water's so clean out there right now. It's just, well, we're in real trouble. It's
when this steam goes up, Dan, and what's in the steam? How dirty is it? Do we know? Does it vary from plant to plant?
Well, it depends on your fuel, what the mixture combination. But once it goes through a chain reaction, whatever's now, the fuel has millions of microscopic cracks. And people says, oh, well, you know, microscopic cracks. But you can get 2 million atoms on the head of a needle. You can't see it. So when you have millions of microscopic cracks per fuel rod, hundreds of thousands of these rods, and then that's goes out into the water. But at the same time, the water's absorbing the neutrons, the gamma, the alpha bursts, and everything else, the X-rays. And so the water becomes what they call tritiated water. But it's because it's been pounded now with all this nuclear material. It's not tritiated. It's brutal. It's brutal. And so all the isotopes are going into the water. It's solutable in water. Then the water is boiling off and being released, vented off-site, up high to get it off the site so the workers are not breathing it.
It's deadly, is what it is. And spews. That's why if you live within 50-mile radius of any nuclear plant, you should get the hell out of there.
Well, they should do studies on diabetes within 50 miles, or do studies on heart, liver, lung, respiratory, or pituitary, adrenaline glands, autism, and Alzheimer's, dementia. If they done those studies within 50 miles, because cancer is the last one to show up, right? Cancer is going to show up way down the road. So you would want to look at all the other manifestations. There's 1,800 of them, but they are the most visible, highly recognizable ones, the ones we are familiar with, the ones we bring our loved ones to try to get help for, right?
And hold on a sec, Dana. Hold on. We got to take a break. We'll come right back. Dana Durnford and yours truly will continue. Glad you're along. Stay right there. For all of you folks living in the areas I mentioned where the Mark 1 BWR reactors are, you really, seriously, if you have any means of moving, you really need to move. Sorry, but you've got to move at least 50 miles away, preferably a couple hundred miles away, and upwind if you can do it, obviously. These things are spewing radioactive steam every day and other things, emissions all the time, and they're coming down all around the plants, and it's in the environment, and people get sick. But it's all deniable. The plants say, we didn't do anything. Cancer.
The plant goes banged. Oh, everybody loses their property. Got to run away. So if you leave now, you get to take it with you. If you don't, and something goes wrong,
that's right.
And so either way, there's no right. You're gonna have to liquidate your assets in the future.
You got it.
Because you're living close to those places, so it's a lose.
No.
And people won't be able to associate it.
We're on borrowed time. Many of these plants are actually already beyond their projected lifespan. I mean, can you imagine? Virtually all of them. They built these things knowing that they only had so many decades of use, and they're all past it, and they're rotting, and they're cracking, and they're just rusting, and they're literally, many of them, on the verge of a catastrophe. I don't know how we get so lucky. It's just like, how many Band-Aids can they use, Dana, before we get a big one here? It's just, it has to happen. And we got 450, approximately, reactors around the world, 103 in the U.S. And these things are all operating beyond their projected lifespan. It's the truth.
Yeah, I did get a free pass. All you got to do is ask for it.
That's it. Some of them are getting 20-year extensions.
Right away, too, yeah. They don't have to meet any qualifications. Just claim they're going to keep an eye on stuff. And
just, well, we'll watch. Look what happened at Indian Point. Been leaking since, what the hell was it, 1995? Middle 90s or middle 80s? I can't remember.
Oh, yeah. Back but in the 70s.
Yeah, it's been leaking hundreds and hundreds of gallons of radioactive water a day, and they never fixed it.
Well, it's hemorrhaging out, see. Well, they got the 500 ways to lie to you, and which one do you want right now? And
that's
they're
right.
Really good at it, and they've been doing it for 7 years straight.
They're real good at it. Yeah. I can't even imagine working in that industry. I couldn't do it. I mean, I couldn't do it. There's not a chance in the world.
Oh, the world. It's like its own little city, eh? These nuclear power plants, they got their own police force, their own security.
It's true.
They got their own weapons industry going under. They got their own kind of...
their own little cancer factory.
System, shake remover. They got their own medical system. They're dealing with all kinds of... they like to take over the community, like take on over for donations to sports and donations to bus shelters and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, they throw out
so
some
they
money.
They assimilate themselves, yeah. And so they become an indispensable part of the city all
Remember,
of a sudden.
Remember, not
used to all
one
these
of them.
Free, this is not, all built into it, yeah.
That's right. Not one of them has ever made a penny profit.
No, exactly, yeah. And all of them, we're stuck with the results till the end of time. But the community that they're in is devastated 20 years after they're closed. It'll be shocking diseases, illnesses.
Uh-huh. That's right.
And,
that's right.
Is it a legacy? Yeah. Oh, gee. And every animal has died in every study for 70 years. Think about that legacy.
Give us more on the study again so they remember.
So, right. And so I always do the beagle dogs and beagle puppy studies. Because it's still ongoing, 35 years from Loveless Respiratory Research, which is military. But Dr. Raymond Gilmedy, every dog dies in every study. And
what are the dogs exposed to? What's the protocol?
Well, they're just one monodispersal inhalation, which is just a small. So they're not eating it or drinking it all the time and blah, blah, blah.
Just
and they're
inhalation.
Not giving any painkillers or nothing. And they get tumors to the – they usually die – all of them die usually within less than 5 years. And they usually get multiple tumors, liver, lungs, and
where are these dogs
tumors.
Kept for these tests?
They're kept in cages. They're not given anesthetics or painkillers.
They're just kept outside?
They're usually kept in warehouses.
Uh-huh.
Literally warehouses.
Wow.
It's the cruelest thing imaginable what's going on.
Yeah.
It's beyond cruel how they do it, and they're still doing it. They're still actively at it. But anyway, every dog died, every study. Now, it's the same thing in our hospitals. Every person treated with man-made radiation in the hospital died before they would have without getting that treatment. So they would have been better off without going to the hospital and getting any treatment. You'll live longer. And if you eat organic, I'm not giving medical advice, but studies have shown if you're just eating healthy food, you know, child cancer didn't exist pre-Fukushima, or pre-nuclear, rather, 70 years ago. Child cancer was
so rare.
No examples of whatsoever.
No.
Now the hospitals are dedicated just to child cancers. And once again, you know, 6 times more breast cancer around power plants. There's just 90% in one study. There's multiple studies on child cancers around these power plants, leukemias and stuff like that. Once again, cancers are the last one to show up, right?
Right.
And then all the studies are based up on just a couple of isotopes, which are the tracers. And so the scientists who are in the know would extrapolate all the other isotopes were there. And so what they tell us, they talk about one isotope or two, like an iodine or a cesium.
Cesium or iodine, that's it. They don't mention the hundreds of others.
Right, that are the important ones because that's just for the scientific community. It apparently is not important enough to tell us. And so, but this whole industry is secrecy. You know, we have radiation monitors in Canada and America. And most of them were offline when it happened, and then they turned them off in increments over the next several days when Fukushima happened.
That's true.
Anyway, right? The EPA, they'd done tests right away in strawberries and mushrooms in Northern California, found 5 or 6 had radiation in
UC
them.
UC Berkeley did most of the tests, and they did a great job on those tests. They were actually honest. And then they were, because every time they would issue test results, all of the graphs were going up, up, up. And so they quit. They were ordered to shut down, and they stopped reporting.
Right. Well, we had really 220 million becquerels per liter, atomic decays atoms, in a liter of rainwater over North America, over California, over British Columbia, shortly after that. Now, these numbers are 220 million of diiodine 129, but
220 million becquerels in how much of rainwater?
One liter.
Wow.
Per liter.
So we were getting slammed. Now, I remember they found in New Mexico in the desert, 3 days after the explosions, whichever one you want to start with, they were picking up, I think it was cesium and iodine, at least there.
Is this what they're looking for? They're looking for the tracers. They're able to find them. So that's the ones they reported on. But the academic community immediately interprets that as, you know, like the 220 million becquerels of the 129 iodine, it would have been the same amount of iodine 133.
Right.
And the same amount, or 10 times less, or, you know, 3 times less, or whatever the case of this isotope and that isotope. And there's all these mathematical equations is the better way to look at it.
Yeah.
And, but they don't report on that, you know. And the reactors run on uranium. Like 50 becquerels a kilogram in humans lead to lesions in your organs. 50 becquerels a kilogram for adults. But for children, it's 11 becquerels a kilogram. We'll give them holes in their heart, like the Chernobyl.
Oh,
heart,
man.
That documentary.
Yeah.
But we have the Americans now, they increased their food to 1,200 or 1,100 becquerels a kilogram, but 11 becquerels a kilogram.
They've raised it to 1,100 becquerels per kilogram is supposedly safe now. They keep raising this so-called safe amount.
And the dog study shows that to be a fable, obviously, right? But they won't refer to that. And what they refer to is an MIT study where there was just a one-minute exposure to a human. And they don't bother, because they say there's no documentation on radiation harming humans, but there's actually the dog studies are meant to model the human, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole point of the dog study, because the dogs, those studies, you expect the exact same outcome if humans were exposed to the same. And when you're eating it, drinking it, washing your food and laundry, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so the plume, they always, for people who are not familiar with this, they always talk in context of the plume for the ocean or plume for the environment as being a single plume. But the plume didn't stop coming out. It was intense plume for the first 8 months, for sure. Now, it might still be intense for all I know, but for sure, unequivocally, for the first 10 months, all the way up till November in particular, highly documented. And all the way up to now is documented, but there was a really incredible chain reaction ongoing at that time. And so a chain reaction is consuming everything around it for people that are not familiar. And so it's like nuclear weapons going off every minute. And it's sustained 1,440 minutes a day, 7 days a week, 30 days a month, sustained. And that's the problem with the chain reaction. So in other words, Chernobyl, which was one-third the size and 30% meltdown of the actual reactors, but there's 6 reactors per billion in Fukushima, but Chernobyl was equal to 40 Hiroshima bombs worth of radiation material per day. And I'm stuttering on those words because the Hiroshima bomb is taking into account the Earth being sucked up and ionized and radiated. And so it's not talking about the actual pound each of the weapon. It's talking about also the dirt and steel and cement that was vaporized and atomized and aerosol and ionized and radiated and released into the environment.
Yeah.
Now, the studies on the people in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, they were external studies only. And people like...
Oh, really?
External studies. They weren't internal studies. Huh. And so it was a big hoax, again, where they hid that kind of documentation away from everybody. But when you look at the animal studies, like Dr. Ray McGill, many from Loveless Respiratory Research, we see what inhalation does, just a single monodispersal inhalation, which is very tiny fraction. You know, it's like a millionth of a teaspoon.
Who formulates the inhalation dose?
Right. And so, like a lot of these doses are about there. Some of these are about tracing it right away, so they'll what they call sacrifice the animals immediately within different studies. They want to, because they know it's going to go hit the brain or the heart or something within this many hours or that many days or something from other studies. And so, yeah, I don't know. But if you look at all these studies, you see they all have that kind of, they know the tumor is coming, right? And they know where the tumor is basically going to go show up.
Yeah.
And they try these different isotopes and see what the response is, see if they're going to show up in the same spots, blah, blah, blah. And they've studied man-made radiation, man-made elements, way more than everything in the universe combined. That's how astute
they are. Wow, that's fascinating. I've never heard that statement.
And so all the plumes never stopped coming out of Fukushima, but they always refer to it as the iodine-131.
Uh-huh.
And so people become, how would you put it? Like Pennsylvania rainwater was 300% above the drinking water acceptable limits during an accident. But once again, 11 becquerels per kilogram of water or food for children, just a couple of exposures like that will cause permanent lesions
to their organs,
their heart and stuff like that. Yeah. Now, think about just I lost track of it.
All right.
like in North America, we get hit by forest fires from Asia right away. In North America, we get hit by the automobile pollution from Asia right away.
Oh, I've seen dust from big sandstorms in the Gobi Desert come across.
That was my next one. That's right, yeah. And so we've done studies on those. And so they are hundreds of thousands of times bigger particles.
Uh-huh.
Than the
oh, huge. Heavy, yeah.
Yeah.
By comparison.
Right. And so for people that are not familiar, that's another way for them to kind of wrap their mind around how the radiation finds its way over here. Once that pollution comes over here, it hangs out here and adds to the indexes for the pollution. And so radiation is going to do the exact same kind of modeling where it lingers over North America for a couple of months once it gets here. And then becomes stick. It basically electrically charges stick and everything. In Florida, there was 1,000 times acceptable limits of iodine-131 found on leafy vegetables in farmers' fields just like a week after. But this was, 220 million becquerels of one isotope only they were talking about per liter of rainwater. Then you would – like this is – unbelievable numbers, inconceivable numbers, horrendous numbers. And we could have done things. We could have, it was a catastrophic event.
Yeah.
And we could have done things, We could have put all the universities to work on solving these reactors
we
now.
We did nothing. Nothing.
And we did nothing. No,
we talked about it on this program over and over and over, imploring these people to do something. Nothing.
That's why we're doing this every Friday night, because
Monday night.
We have to Monday night because we have to. We have to come out.
No one else will. No, this is your only oracle of information here. This is it. We won't lie. Forbes magazine used to do some pretty good work on this early on, and then they shut down. They were all just shut down.
They were looking for street creds, and then you rolled it to PR firms after. There was another facility there they show all the time, Jeff, in pictures of Fukushima, was this big oil facility burning for days and days.
Had nothing to do with Fukushima. Nothing.
No, actually it did. There was depleted uranium, DU is what they could claim, right? But it was actually fuel rods were stored there.
Really?
Yeah, there was
Wait. Now, this is a picture after the tsunami. And you remember, for all of you who remember, there's one fire with a large plume of gray smoke coming up from it. And that had fuel rods. They were storing them there, and they burned.
They emit to 1,800 pounds, but I heard numbers as high as 40,000 pounds.
Who was storing this there?
The nuclear power plants, yeah. No, because they get a lot of their chemicals from the power plants from those exact same facilities where they store it.
I'll be damned.
So, there's a number of facilities in here in Canada that are storing Agent Orange still on site from the Vietnam War, right? Because they used to make it.
Do we really have a right to be on this planet? I'm not sure anymore.
I struggle to put a number on it, but see, 25 to 30,000 people on this planet are making an enormous amount of money by misery.
Death, and, suffering,
yeah, on misery,
horrible,
on misery.
Grief.
And without them, this planet would prosper and grow.
Mm-hmm.
And like when you think about if you look at migratory animals or animals in the Serengeti or wherever the case may be, and there's a drought, the animals will start producing more babies right away. Mm-hmm. And if there's less food, they'll produce more babies, so more can survive through the drought, so to speak. And that's all with all these animals will start doing that. And biological world, they all do the exact same thing. And humans will do the exact same thing. And so this planet population growth, like we're seeing, is because the nature of the human species recognizes we're you know, hurtling at a wall nonstop, and there's nobody in control, it seems, or everybody in control is incredibly insane and just won't give the planet a chance to stop. Like in a boxing ring, the fighters get to stop every, you know, 5 minutes.
At 3 minutes.
Something, right? And then the fight's over. Well, and then they get a long time off for the next fight.
Right.
And the planet doesn't get any breaks. And because of nuclear, is not going to get any chances. And the people, look, you know, I'll put it this way because I know we're running out of time. It's like this. There's serial killers out there that knew the gig was up for them and had families and children. And uh-huh. they killed the wife and killed the children because they didn't. The wife and children didn't know what they were like. And to them, they didn't want the wife and children to know what they were like, so they killed them because they knew they were going to be arrested.
Unbelievable.
And then they put in jail and they spend their life in jail. That is the nuclear industry. That is the very people we're talking about. That's the same mentality, and it's demonstrated over and over and over and over and over in their actions. That's how I see these people, how I understand these people, and the how I document what these people actually are like.
Oh, they're psychopaths, no question. No, they know.
They know what they're doing.
Yes, they know.
And they're lying, bald-faced. They're educated. Yeah. They're not naive. They're not gullible. They're dead set. And they will take down the whole planet with them rather than admit that they're demons or they're twisted or they're just...
Sure they will. That's right. Now, let me remind everyone one more time. There is something you can do to help mitigate your exposure, your chronic, ongoing, constant exposure in low levels. And yes, low levels are just as bad as anything can be. Bio Superfood, second banner at the top of Rents. Please click on it and read it. It was created to help the people at Chernobyl. It worked. It's composed of the four most potent algaes on the planet. It will bind and it will matriculate the heavy metals and the radioactive isotopes to a significant degree out of your body. It's the only thing there is. I've been taking it every day for 7 years now, and I wouldn't be without it. So there you go. It's up there. Bio Superfood, look at it, second banner. And it'll build your nutrition to the extent that your immune system is totally robust, and it will help you stay healthy. I remember, Dana, twice after the first year, the first explosions, I tasted that stuff. We had a major plume right here, came right over us. I tasted it for over a week, maybe 10 days. Every day, my sinuses hurt. Back of my throat tasted like metal, and that's what it was. And then there was a second
1,500 sulfur peroxide hydrogen buckyballs per cubic meter. Go ahead, Jeff. Yeah.
Well, during I had
that period
a second.
That you're talking about, so you definitely were tasting it, Jeff.
Oh,
sulfur.
Yeah.
You were tasting sulfur, see?
Yep. Yeah. I had a second event. Wasn't nearly as bad. Three, four days maybe. But the first one was real obvious, and that was 6 years ago. So.
The average person sequestered 300 or 400 of those into their testicles for the males each day. And
each
so that's
day?
Game. That's game over. Right? When you look at the animal studies, then that's game over.
Because
they only got one dose where we got it nonstop for till November.
One dose takes them out. Wow.
Right. I mean, like, it showed up in Germany, Sweden, Slovakia.
There's nowhere to run. That's the point, okay? You can't get away from it. Yeah. It's everywhere.
Yeah, Poland, Denmark. That was the IAEA.
Right.
And then EPA shut down. And then here in Canada, Health Canada shut down the radiation monitors. There was 8 different ones here in British Columbia. They shut them all down over a 4-day period.
Hell, here they actually packed them up and took them away.
Control panel, inland, a couple hundred miles inland to the Okanagan Valley from Victoria, British Columbia, Canada.
Wow.
Right away, within days, they had moved it and shut it all down, packed it all in.
Mm-hmm.
Really something. And then we had found massive amounts right away that was Simon Fraser University was the one that, from Victoria or Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, that found a 220 million becquerels of the iodine 129, which is a well-known tracer. They know how to find it. And so they had the equipment. They had been looking at it from other things. And so they were. Mm-hmm. It's been used as a tracer for quite a while because it's you know the signature anyway, right?
Sure.
But the EPA in America, like we covered it, will no longer conduct radiation monitoring once Fukushima happened. A lot of people were really freaking out. I remember about that. You know, when it happened.
Sure.
That really struck me because it had made its way out right away, and you're like, my goodness, right? This is not. And at that time, there wasn't much literature available. You know,
no, and there's nothing now. The EPA doesn't even talk about Fukushima. I thought that the Trump administration might at least mention it, that they're going to undertake a study as if they don't know exactly what's going on, which they do. But they're not doing anything. No, it's just out of sight, out of mind. Nobody will talk about it. And it's not going to be talked about. It's the biggest secret.
It was unprecedented phenomenon from using salt water on the reactors.
Yeah.
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 That was the one, man.
Yes, sir. Dana, okay. Thank you. Thanks for everything. Jeff, great hour.
Jeff.
Great information.
Yeah, just
talk. All right. Good
Thanks
night.
For everybody. Take care, folks.
Thanks, Dana. Dana Durnford. And his website is nuclearproctologist.org. You can click on his name at guests and go there. Okay, that's our Monday. We're off and running. Be right back with you tomorrow night. Terrible Tim will be here, Frosty Wildridge, and we will talk then. Thank you. Take care.